Welcome to Fiscal Therapy, the podcast where leaders in accounting share their secrets to success. I'm your host, Jody Sitters, Community Manager for our accounting partners at MYOB. We chat to expert guests who will provide real-life examples of how you can build a successful practice. Welcome to Fiscal Therapy. My guest today is Damien Gooden, Group CEO at HR Central. HR Central is a privately owned human resource company that services small and medium businesses Australia-wide. They believe that looking after your people is the most important part of any business. So today we're talking about how to attract and retain talent in hybrid working environments. So Damien, welcome to Fiscal Therapy.
Jody, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Love that you're here. Thank you so much for your time to be here. And it's so good to have you on Fiscal Therapy. And I think you're in Sydney, right?
I am in Sydney today. Some of the team up here, catching up with them and also seeing some clients. All good stuff. Where are you? Adelaide?
Yeah. I'm over in Adelaide and it's a nice hot day here and yeah, love and life. It's good. I love it. So today we've brought you in because you are at HR Central and right amongst all those HR sensitive topics day in, day out, I would imagine. And one of the most intriguing subjects right now is that hybrid working. So tell us a little bit about the ins and outs and how particular practices are adapting to this?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, I think very few businesses were as into hybrid working prior to COVID, the C word that we don't like to talk about. But since that, particularly, you know, we were based head office in Melbourne in an office prior to COVID and then forced to see if we could run the business remotely at the drop of a hat, which we made some changes to do. And we were just one of many businesses and speaking to our clients, obviously the changes were not necessarily going through formal change management processes or those sorts of things. It was like, okay, this is the law. It's changed. How do we keep operating? Fortunately, since then, people have had an opportunity to sort of say, okay, well, we did that when we had to, but now what's the best way to do it? And it's a really interesting, you know, this idea of retention. If everyone's working at home, how do you add value? Like your home, if your office is your home, you can have the fanciest office you like, but if no one's in there, that's not really necessarily adding value. But I think there's so many different things to take into account. I've got a lot of time for this. I don't know how much time we've got for the podcast, but the biggest thing I would say at the top is you've got to think about what the business needs, not what it wants, but what it needs. And then think about what your people want and then what they need. Because what might suit you might not suit me, even though we might work for the same company. But can we both be satisfied and still do what the company needs us to do with different setups? That's the biggest thing, I think. It's got to be looked at a personal level. I think people that are living in big homes with studies and great setups and, you know, big screens at home, they're possibly happier working at home than someone who's in a share house or someone who's got a young family where all the young family are at home and they're working at the kitchen table or they're working in their bedroom. So people's personal circumstances, you know, it makes a big difference about their attitude towards working from home or hybrid work.
Yeah, I love that. And like, firstly, we had this massive interruption. We had to just, you know, jump in there and do the best we could. But now's an opportunity to really make sure that it works for everyone, right? So I like the way that you're thinking and, you know, thinking about tailoring those needs. And like you said, you know, there could be kids at home. Who wants to be at home all day trying to work when you've got those sort of interruptions? I mean, it's really great. Sometimes I think also having your kids around is good. So it really depends on you personally, like you said. I think that's a really, really good call out. I love it. So you talked about that, you know, retaining talent. And so particularly in practice, because we've got lots of practice people listening today and accountants and that professional industry sort of listening in. Why is a hybrid model important for attracting and retaining talent specifically in that practice space?
I think you have to be able to keep up with what the offers are that are around. You know, we've seen, particularly during COVID, where people started a role in the midst of COVID. So I never actually went into an office, never met anybody in person. They're doing a job, and then at the end, there's a change that says, oh, no, we want you to come in 100% of the time. And someone might say, well, that doesn't really suit me. I like working from home. Or some people say, we're going fully remote, never come in. And some people, again, like I said, I don't want to. I want to do it what works for me. I think the biggest thing about hybrid and what's really important, what we're seeing, again, in the practice space is what is out there? What are your competitors offering? And how are you making sure you're relevant? Because if you're not offering the same flexibility, people will go because they now know how much they can get out of life with that added flexibility that's being afforded by some employers. Even down to the point, Jody, where how you manage hybrid is important. So there's people that are dictating to their teams, you must come in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Why do we have to come in then? What's the purpose for that? And someone says, oh, this practice over here, they let you choose the 2 days a week you want to go in or the 3 days a week you go in. That suits me better because I actually want to go in Monday, Friday, and Wednesday, for example. So you've got to really think about what's being offered out there because the talent will follow. It used to be we'll just follow the money for a lot of people, but now this flexibility piece is becoming so much more important to people when they're looking at where do I go next or do I stay or do I go?
Yeah, that's a really big call out as well, I think, just, you know, the change in that sort of space and what people are actually looking for their own, you know, life balance, work-life balance. I think that's really important. And so it sort of lends into this next question, though, around what does it mean for the office space? I mean, you know, you've got people that are trying to manage that and, you know, you've still got the employers that are trying to manage the office space and the cleaning and the this and the that and all the things that go with, you know, having that, you know, facility. So what does it mean for them?
Well, it means I wouldn't want to be in commercial real estate at the moment. Because even the people that have many, 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 many employees, much bigger than the companies we look after, they're not buying office space to accommodate all their employees anymore. They're taking a floor that's maybe a quarter, a third, a quarter of the size that it was before. And even the fit-outs have changed. They're not just rows of desks where people do work. We had one client, they changed their office into basically a clubhouse. So it's not about coming there to necessarily work. There's a few stations where you can get on video calls and do your work, you know, as you would if you were working from anywhere. But really the purpose is how do we engage everybody? How do we get groups together, big tables, you know, communal meals, drinks, entertainment, that sort of thing, and changing the work office to be actually a social hub and a way to build collegiality and differentiate yourself again between other, you know, against your competitors.
Yeah, so the environment's really important. It becomes a really good space for actually collaboration because that's what, you know, sometimes that's a really important part of coming into the office is actually seeing everyone collaborating and that sort of stuff. And
sorry to cut you off there.
We've
actually seen some people, they say, I have to not go to the office because I need to get too much, I need to get work done. Because when I go because I don't go in all the time anymore, it's very social. There's lots of catching up with people, which is great for culture and great for retention as well. If you've got good people and they're sticking together, that's great. But they go, oh, I've got to go home because I've got to concentrate. I've got to get some work done. So it's a really interesting change in what being in the office is all about. It's quite different to the old idea of you come to work, you do your work, you go home, and then you have fun. It's not necessarily the case anymore.
Yeah, I like that. And sort of managing your productivity levels and things like that and making sure you, you know, smash out the work at home and then come in and relax and sort of talk to people and collaborate and you know, get that information and have a little bit of a, you know, environmental sort of like release, I guess, and just go in into the office and be part of what's the culture of what's happening. So that's sort of what I was going to sort of lead into, and that's sort of what's the best way to collaborate between those sort of office, you know, workers that want to come in and more people that are more into that remote worker sort of situation where they'd like to be at home more.
Yeah, and again, like I know this, I keep banging on the same thing here, but it's very much about how do you get the best out of the people, and it's about what are their interests and what do they think is the best way. Sometimes you have geographical issues that say you can't get everyone together all the time. So we've got staff in three different states. It's a couple of times a year where we get everyone together. It's not practical for most meetings and those sorts of things. But me personally, I believe that face-to-face is an absolute winner. If you can meet someone the first time face-to-face, you can build a rapport in that one meeting. Potentially after that, you can get by with video calls and phone calls and things like that. But having only video calls, or even worse, only telephone calls, it's just not the same. And you just cannot get the same cut through. And I think in particular, certain things about work work better face-to-face, like training, for
yeah,
example.
Definitely.
Particularly people, you know, I think about people that are new to the workforce. I think about when I was first in the workforce, you get sat next to someone who knows what they're doing, you listen to them, you watch them, you're hearing the speak and you're picking all these things up. If you're on a Zoom call or a Teams call with someone and you're being trained by them, you'll learn potentially what they say, but all the other stuff you miss. And there's so much to that that helps you become, you know, yourself as a corporate citizen or as a worker in the world.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, sometimes you won't ask the questions, even if you're in that remote situation. You know, you're more likely just hang out in the background, I think, where if you're in a room, sometimes it's more engaging and you actually come in with the questions and have that sort of organic conversation that comes out of that as well, I think, which is quite good. I know that at NYOB we've had some shows where, you know, some gatherings with all the, you know, the different states and all that sort of side of it. And some of them, you know, we've offered that remote working, you know, where they can join. And we've also offered for everyone to come into the office. And I think some of them feel like at the moment it's more fun when they're watching everyone else there having a great time. It's actually more fun and they're enjoyable to actually get into the office and have a chat with everyone.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And it comes back to this difference. People are different.
I was
talking to one organization. They have a rule: every video call, first 5 minutes, you're not allowed to talk about work.
Yeah,
there's a, so because they can't collaborate and they don't have that. Oh, here's the time when we're all sitting out the front of the meeting room waiting for the other meeting to finish, where you have that organic conversation about, you know, what you have for lunch, or, you know, who do you follow with a footy or whatever. They make that happen. They make a space for that first 5 minutes of every meeting.
Yeah, I like it, and maybe
so they're
Yeah, maybe this is a question I was going to ask you as well around how do they, you know, how do you instill those organic water cooler conversations? Almost like you could have a time where you actually put that, you know, bring the water cooler out and like let's have a chat about, you know, just stuff, you know. Like, so yeah, how do you manage that? So well, you know, how does that happen in a hybrid space?
Yeah, again, I would say talk to your team about the best way. But what we do at HR Central, we actually craft time that's our unorganic organic time. So the time is not organic, but what happens inside there is organic. And it's about giving people threads to start with and then letting the conversation flow and just learning about each other. So in the same way that you would if you bumped into each other at the kitchen while you're making a sandwich, or if you walked out the front door to get a coffee at the same time, just making space for those conversations that aren't necessarily about a project or a client or a sale. They're just people, humans, just chatting.
Yeah, I like that. And I've experienced that as well, where, you know, you've sort of gone, you know that person's having two sugars in their coffee and, like, you know, just it's just a more personal sort of, I don't know, approach, isn't it, to having a conversation. So what about with, you know, the hybrid sort of space, what impact are you seeing on working hours? Like, so, and time frames, like obviously we, you know, we've always had in that sort of traditional space, we've got a 9-to-5 kind of thing. And I imagine, you know, that might be affected as well in that hybrid space.
Yeah, well, there's probably two main areas, or maybe three if you take a long view. But we're seeing people who had long commutes previously starting work and finishing work earlier and later, but still having more time with their families or with their personal life. So instead of commuting an hour and a half, they'll start work half an hour earlier than before and work half an hour longer, but they're still getting an extra hour at each end. So there's a lot of that happening. The downside to that is some people can't shut off. So they're actually working into the night, particularly I think people that don't have good setups where they're working at home, where they can leave it, like an office that you can shut the door. If your laptop's on your kitchen table or, you know, in your lounge room and you're sort of looking at it, people find it a little bit hard to give it up, which is not healthy. We don't want that. No one should want that for their teams. It's important. Yes, we want people to work hard and be productive, but we also don't want it to burn out. It'll be interesting to see the legislation about, you know, basically letting people have their time and no communication. If that will extend out to, well, we actually don't want you to be working at all. So not just will you not get a call or a message from a manager or from someone at work, but how do we make sure you're not actually working? The flip side to that, there's plenty of people who actually enjoy being able to be flexible during the day. So maybe take kids to school or take them to sports practice or whatever between sort of 2:30 and 4 or 5, but then they're happy to do 2 or 3 hours once their kids are in bed, for example. So they're happy to work from 8 to 10. So they're still trying to do the hours, but slice it up differently, which depending on your role and how customer facing you are, can work really well.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I sort of always get up and might be 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm checking emails and getting the ball rolling, and then I might go and put the washing out, right? Have some breakfast, make a coffee, and then start again. And that's to me, that's a really, really nice way to start the day. I just feel like I've already, got up and done my emails, got everything organized, the ball's rolling. There's, work over in New Zealand. I've answered questions and things like that when they start a bit earlier. And off we go, have a bit of a break and then off you go again. So I think you do have to be more mindful of, the time that you're spending. And being productive and all that sort of side of it. But I think there's definite advantage to that, in some ways.
Yeah, unfortunately, our legislation is not quite up to speed with that.
Yeah.
So technically, people working at night's not really part of the rules, unless you've got a specific individual flexible agreement. And I won't go into the very exciting legislative detail, but businesses need to be a bit careful to make sure it's not an expectation and it's not something that they're enforcing on their team. It's something that's agreed to. And is mutually beneficial.
Yeah, and I suppose in that regard, contracts and things like that, maybe even needed to be looked at in regards to setting, people up for success in that space as well. Like that's sort of a bit of a deeper dive into another conversation, and probably one you've given a lot of thought to, I would imagine. But it's probably something that's going to come into effect at some stage.
Yeah, it's what is going to be fascinating is how much is dictated to us, as opposed to how much flexibility an employer and an employee will be able to have with their own relationship. Unfortunately, we see some people doing the wrong thing and it means legislation comes down pretty hard to limit things, but it's actually making it harder for businesses who are genuinely trying to do the right thing and actually match up what they need with what their employees, what best suits them. But the legislation's so tight that you actually can't do that in some cases. So, yeah, we need to be careful that we're not over-legislated.
Yes, but it's also that we need to protect people, right? And it's a bit of a catch-22 in that space. You've got to make sure that you're covering all bases. It's an interesting one. So what about those? And I think we did touch base on this, and I sort of mentioned a little bit about those in-person events and networking. And like, how do we? It's a challenge, right, to get everyone in the same room together because there's obviously different thoughts, and like you said, different people have different ideas about what they want to do in that space. Travel restrictions, things like that, can affect it. But how important is it? I think to make sure that people are at those in-person events and networking still.
Oh, as much as you can, I would encourage it. Even if you've got, like you said before, if you've got state groups that you can get together as a subgroup, just to have some physical, actual in-person connect is a great thing. Businesses will be, fighting for talent. And so the best way for you to keep your talent is to have them all engage with each other and know that there's a good support network around them. And the best way to do that is in person. And I think as far as networking, maybe think outside the box. Like if you've got people that are working remotely, what's the local chamber doing? Do they do events? Are there other business people that you can talk to around? There's probably things that you're maybe not even accessing that now become available because people are working from home. As opposed to, your normal client events or bigger networking groups. So I personally recommend the more face-to-face time, the better.
Yeah, I love that. And again, it's just about, maybe creating a bit of FOMO or thinking outside the square, right, to get that interest and make sure that people are actually getting away from their computer sometimes and actually, face-to-face with people, I think is really important. Can't wait. We're heading off to ABE in a couple of weeks and that's really exciting to me. I can't wait to see everyone face to face. It's going to be really good. And I hope, I'm sure I'll see you there, Damien. So a little bit of a change up on the question, but I had a bit of a chat to you before and you had lots to say about this, which I thought was really interesting. So and this is all about attracting talent still, right? Attracting and retaining talent. But what impact do you think is social media having in that space?
Oh, I think social media is fascinating because I still wonder, do businesses know where the people actually are? Which social media network are the people that they want on? You know, LinkedIn's got this traditional sort of corporate, you know, resume style site. Is that where your people are, or are they on Snapchat, snapping each other, Instagram, doing photos? Like, where are your people? But I think, I also think it suits some industries better than others. You know, some employers are in fields where those sorts of medium are used to attract clients or to do promotions really well, and it fits really well to then go and find talent that way. But for others, they're very conservative and they more want to have a, you know, formal application process and, you know, send in a resume and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's really got to be fit for purpose. If you need to find out where your people are, or the people that you want to have as part of your team, and then figure out the best channel to get them. And I think the best way to do that is to talk to your existing team, or at least the ones that are good and the ones that you like and you want to maintain. Where are they? Ask them. You know, where do they hang out? Who do they hang out with? Not just socially, but also we had one client who was a removalist business and he had this gun employee and he talked about, what do you do for, you know, what do you do for fun? He goes, oh, I go to the gym a lot. He goes, are there any mates at your gym that need a job? And he got two other employees just by asking his employee where he was hanging out. And he literally got two more removalists, which obviously with a gym removalist, it's sort of very helpful skill set.
Yeah, yes, you know, heavy lifting.
Modeling, all that sort of stuff, heavy lifting. But that sort of thing is not as coincidental as you seem. If you took the time to ask, you know, where do your team hang out? You know, have they got a friend? You know, is it at a sporting club or an association? Yeah, definitely worth looking at.
Yeah, and I was just talking to another fellow podcaster, Nick, and he was talking about when he put his resume in for a job, he put his Strava account on there. He's got, you know, his Instagram page, so he's very transparent. But, you know, sometimes it's a really good thing. And I was sort of thinking about that going, oh, it's great to know that you're really healthy and you do a few Ks and all that sort of side of it. And employers may want to know those things as well. So I think, you know, all of those different sort of mediums and things that we're coming across right now can be helpful in all the different industries that we have. Like you said, you know, you need someone to lift heavy things, right? So you go find someone from the gym. I love it. So listen, we've got, I love all that. So Damien, we've got to wind this up. I could talk to you all day about this subject because I think it's really, you know, really important and interesting. But we've got one last question for you, and this is important. Okay, it's our fiscal therapy question. So I want you to take a deep breath and have a think about. I know it always gets people when I say that. So just think about lying back on your virtual couch and have a think about this question. I think you know, it's pretty deep, but tell me. What does success look like for you?
I think this is a bit of a cop-out, but I think the journey is the reward. So success is continuous improvement and continually engaging with other humans and hopefully making some good in the world. And that doesn't mean – that's not just work-wise, but hopefully work-wise, but also outside of work if you're volunteering or you've got kids or whatever that might be. Just keep on going. And keep trying to make something good happen. I think people are fascinating and there's so much to learn out there. And I think if you're out there having a crack, you can sit down at the end of the week and go, how many people did I meet this week? Or how many people did I do something good for this week? And you can be pretty, you know, you can be pretty fulfilled and quite grateful about the opportunities you've had to meet people and spend time with people and hopefully in some way have an impact in a positive way.
That's fantastic. I love that measurement and just, you know, you do sort of measure it in a way, but it's that what that success looks like is, you know, making sure that you're out amongst it in, you know, continuous improvement, all of those sort of things are just fantastic. I love it. So thank you so much for sharing with me, especially. I know it's a pretty deep question. So Damien, I'm not gonna ask you any more tough ones. But most importantly, though, we've had a really great chat today, and it's all about that hybrid. You've got lots of information about, you know, a lot of HR stuff, obviously, coming from HR Central. But most importantly, where will people find you? And we're talking about social media and all that sort of medium. Where would they find you? What's the best way?
Best way is the website, hrcentral.com.au. We're working with a lot of practices, a lot of accountants, a lot of bookkeepers to help them navigate their clients' HR as well, not only their own, but also their clients. So be wrapped to have a conversation with anyone out there who's working on hybrid or trying to get rid of hybrid or trying to bring hybrid in, whatever their case might be, or anything else in the HR landscape, particularly given the number of legislative changes that have been over the last 18 or so months. Always happy to have a conversation.
Fantastic. And there are always changes, and they always will be. And you guys have got people's back. And like we said, it's not only just practice that is dealing with hybrid and all that sort of stuff. It's a lot of businesses out there that practices would be talking to. So yeah, that's a great call out. Damien, thanks so much for your time today. I loved having a chat with you. It's always been good. I can't wait to catch up if you're going to be at ABE. See you next time.
Thank you, Jodie. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Fiscal Therapy with Jodie Sitters, powered by MYOB. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to sharing more fiscal therapy with you next time.